1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
The clock's up, aren't you?
The clock is up.
It's 10 o'clock, is that right? All right. Well, let's go through the agenda, which invocation and cash for the kind of problem.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity we have together to do business for the city and for our community. Lord, bless what goes on here, and Lord, bless this special season of the year that we're about to enter. Thank you for all you do for us, and Lord, thank you for these kind of opportunities to live in a country like this, for these kinds of opportunities. In your son's name, amen.
Amen.
All right, well, I just pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Kevin Crawford.
Here.
Randy Conn.
Here.
Carolyn Knott. Howard.
Here.
Chuck Savick.
Here.
We have Crawford.
Very good. All right, business, Red Road release. First off, let me thank the board for showing up on the special meeting in the middle of the day on Friday. It's an important couple subjects on here, so again, thank you very much for your time and coming out today. First up is the Red Road release. This was presented to the airport board at the previous meeting. Nothing's changed with the terms, but I'll go over it again. They had requested a lease extension, Red Rover, longtime tenant on the airport. They wanted to amortize some of their costs related to their fuel farm and some of the improvements that they were required by federal law to make. And they had some other hangar improvements. They put a new door on the front. We negotiated a lease. We emailed that to the board members. The lease is providing for an additional 8 years, expiring in the year 2029. The lease rate is relatively unchanged from now until January 21st, which was the date of the original lease extension. However, new escalator calculations are effective immediately. The lease rate in January 2021 will be established via an appraisal at that time frame. It's impossible to predict what the ground rents are going to be in that year, so we've put that in the new lease. We've negotiated new fuel flow rates to match whatever is listed in the minimum standards. It's currently at 6.5 cents per gallon. The previous lease, it was actually fixed at 3.5 cents, but we wanted the flexibility to either raise that or even lower it. Currently, again, it's at 6.5 cents per gallon. The fuel tank was the focus of some controversy. We were able to negotiate that the fuel tank is to be completely removed at the end of the new lease in the year 2029. There's some ambiguity in the current lease, whether it stays, whether it goes. So we've negotiated that. It was a compromise. I'd be happy to answer any airport board questions. You know, because we don't have laptops like the employees do. Can you put up the lease, the red line version? And I have two questions that I don't recall.
I don't have it on here. I can put it up real quick.
Yeah, I'd like to see. There's two. Well, my issues are the bullet point on established via appraisal, and that's whose appraisal, and is it our appraisal? Or if there's a disagreement, or is it some lease, I can't recall. You know, do we pick the appraiser? And the second thing is, wouldn't it be prudent to say that the removal of fuel tanks are at our option? What if you don't want them removed? They might be an asset. You know, I wouldn't mandate they be removed. I'd say if the city, if the city,
so the city's option to do that. That's a good point. We can certainly.
Because it may be perfectly good, big asset for some of us.
Let me address the appraisal question.
Landlord shall cause an appraisal of the premises, excluding any improvements owned by the tenant, by an appraiser with MAI credentials to be performed. The appraisal shall represent establish the fair rental value of the premises using a cap rate of 9.5%. So it is our
city. The city picks ours.
Yep, city picks it.
Alright, yeah, then the other thing I see is that if the city's option for removing the tanks.
Yes.
And if they're not removed, they become the city's property, does it say that?
Well, the whole premises reverts, if the lease isn't extended, and the improvements revert back to the city. Let me find the fuel. While I look for this, Terry, did you have a question?
Yes. But it's really just past that. Yeah, I apologize for not having been here. You know, about my travel schedule this last year has been a lot more intense than normal. Y'all can do this lease in the first place, the extension of it. The whole premise of this lease was, and has been for 20-year lease, 25-year lease.
Originally, it was a 30-year lease.
Well, I was here when the lease was negotiated, and the whole idea behind it was that we have been very zealous in terms of not allowing corporate hangars to have fuel hauls. And that had been the point, that had been where we were going. I think most airports look at that way. It's less common, very less common on a national basis, from my understanding. What I've observed, having a fuel farm for a hangar. Now, it's done, obviously we got it. But the way this one came about was a little bit different, and that was one of the reasons, because the city staff, myself, a lot of people fought it, but we ended up losing that battle. This happened that many years ago, because the principal in the case of Red Rover was the city council president. And, you know, you can draw all the lines that you want to draw and see what happens, but we did not want it. The airport board was against it. The city manager at the time was against it. So we got it. So the idea of what we kind of agreed to do, we said watch it, and when the lease ran out, we would renew it, but without fuel. Because they don't really have any rights to have fuel anymore. Because it gets to be precedent setting, I'm afraid, because why can't everybody down there who has a corporate hangar have a fuel pump? So my position is one that we shouldn't even be this far along in the lease. I think we should just go back to them and tell them, hey, lease ran out, fuel farm ran out, you have the hangar, that's how it works. But that's my position. I don't know where we are in this. Again, I apologize, I wasn't involved with the negotiations with the Red Rover. Red Rover went back to the airplane that they bought, that the councilman at the time bought, family bought. It was a Red Arrow Commander, so they got
Turbopod. No, now who is it now? Who's the hangar now?
Steinberg.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know where we go from here. And like I say, I'm all late in the process, and that's my fault for not being here. I'm usually pretty attentive to those kind of things because we got money. I'm totally opposed to it. I would vote no. Without question. Not because they're not good people, not because. Yeah, but it's a precedent-setting thing, and I don't think it should be here, and there's no right for them necessarily to have fuel, and nobody else.
This is the only other one. There's no other fuel farms.
There's no other fuel farms on the field. Terry, I initially shared your point of view, I'll be honest with you. But looking at the options and looking at how the FAA addresses self-fueling on airports, and essentially we have to permit it, we have to allow it. We do have a self-fueling policy. The way, in my opinion, that the self-fueling policy is drafted regulates small end user, and it doesn't permit or allow for the large jet user to self-fuel. Because it limits the total quantity of gallons. I think it limits, you can't store more than a couple hundred gallons of the particular fuel that you're using at any
one time. Normally the site on the air.
And it identifies a site where all the fueling is to take place, and that's right in front of the old terminal building where the car rentals are at. But the quantity is of issue in that. So far, none of our high-end tenants
high-end being large quantity users, jet fuel, turboprops, things like that, have made an issue of it. I believe that if somebody, an existing tenant, wanted to come on the field and sell fuel in their jet, they could make an issue of our self-fueling policy, and ultimately we would end up with some sort of a large fuel tank, not permanent, but it could be a trailer-mounted fuel tank out there. We've already established the precedent by allowing the sheriff to do it, and also with forestry out here, we've exempted them from that. Forestry storing almost 2,000 gallons of jet fuel, and they're mobile refuelers out here. So there's some precedent involved in that. I still think even with allowing this fuel farm to go through 2029, if somebody wanted to come on the field and make arrangements to sell fuel their jet, that we would be forced to reevaluate our self-fueling policy. Eventually we'll probably have to do that. This lease puts that off for now. It accommodates Red Rover, and it clearly identifies that the fuel tank's going to go. In my eyes, that was a compromise.
Terry Spain, do you know from other landmark locations or your experience how many other situations are like this? Is it common, more common now?
No, it's not common at all. But, you know, I mean, most airports are getting multiple fuel farms, going with one fuel farm. I think the most notorious one is Concorde.
Or Scottsdale is also a mess.
Yeah. Dick Lewis, you thought that was
just a nightmare.
I'm sorry, sir.
How about Dick Lewis, who was the airport manager who went to Concord after he left here, to city manager.
Yeah. You said their maximum, there's just 200 gallons is the maximum. I mean, they've got a 10,000 gallon bay.
Right, self-fueling policy. We didn't have a self-fueling policy before that fuel farm was.
But what did you mention? Something about 200 maximum gallons?
Right. We established a self-fueling policy, I don't know, probably about 8 years ago. But we limited the gallons.
I'm still opposed to the lease. I've been at it for 20 years since I've been there, waiting for it to run out. I think it should run out. I think. They should be able to rent the hangar if they need to be able to do a farm up. Be like everybody else. That's my.
I just wanted to clarify.
I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again, probably.
The FAA that you talked about, wasn't it? You and I talked about this before. Wasn't it stipulated that it has to be like a truck, but it doesn't allow a fuel farm? Like they can have a mobile device, but it doesn't stipulate they are allowed to have a fuel farm.
It doesn't stipulate how that self-fueling takes place. They leave that to the discretion of the airport. You could allow fuel farms, permanent above ground mounted fuel farms. You could limit it to mobile refuelers, trailers. But you have to, if somebody has to do it, you have to make reasonable accommodations for their operation. Ultimately, I mean, it would be great to have an FBO that could price their fuel so competitively that for
they're never going to be able to price as competitively as I can go to the store and buy it.
Sure, between the insurance involved and the cost to install a fuel farm and whatnot, and the long-term aspect behind it, you would hope that an FBO could. Maintain those competitive prices to where and a permanent installation would be disadvantageous.
I think it's prudent, just like we talked about at Concord, which I'm more familiar with, because Dick Lewis is now retired from airport management, but he's no longer even in Concord. He still lives up there. But that was a real problem. Then the city of Concord had the airport, but all of those NASCAR teams had their own fuel farms. And it, you know, it essentially disturbs the viability of the airport in the scheme of things.
I agree.
You've got, you know, the difference between that, the margin that the FBO makes, the city gets part of, whatever, doesn't, they get a flow agent, that's all the airport gets.
I agree.
There's pluses and minuses to it, I'm sure. If I had the Red Rover lease and the fuel bill in the real airplane, I wouldn't have to
try to get it. But we're looking, the permanent fuel farm would be no different
I mean, the negative effects between the permanent fuel farm would be no different than a mobile fueler out there with 1,000 gallons.
Well, I'm just ordering the premise of whether or not you have either one. It makes it more difficult if you got to drag a tank around and do all the other kind of things that it does have to ground and just pump it out. It makes that lease of that hangar much, much more valuable to whoever runs that hangar as long as fuel goes with it, and has for all these years, just because of that. Mungarian had it for a long time because it was the same thing. It was, and policing the thing from the standpoint of making sure that the neighbors don't get killed up there, you know, doesn't seem to have been a problem, but that's a problem in other places as well. My mom over there put a little kerosene in it, well, you know, nobody's looking. So that becomes a problem sometimes to the airport, from what I understand.
Does Landmark have a position on this?
Right now, no, they're buying fuel from them right now. They've got that fuel in the tank.
Well, that's not right.
But, and they've also got the aircraft base in Tampa right now, at Landmark in Tampa.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just, kind of like the kerosene, I think you're opening up something. You just don't want it to turn into an airport with multiple. And it does happen, like you mentioned, where you can lease it. Does anyone say, honestly, there was a problem with that? There was one farm at the other end of the airport, and other people were going down there and getting fuel. But in defense of what Matt's saying, too, I mean, we gotta, you know, he's got to go with the FAA regulations, and it's a catch-22.
Well, sometimes you got to make a stand. I'm going to vote against whatever it is, but that's all.
When you said amortize the cost related to the fuel farm, those are things in the past, right? That's already been incurred, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. How about other hangar improvements? Are those to be made or happened?
No, they've been made as well.
So
they came to us after the fact, after all this was done.
I mean, if it was but for the fuel farm, we would extend the lease. I mean, they'd be like any other.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just a question of whether to extend the fuel farm for that period of time.
Yes.
That's my question. I don't. The lease, the hangar is no different than the other hangar in our corporate hangar. Exactly the same. This fuel farm, the fueling capability, makes it radical.
How much less would the city make? I guess you don't know, but if they didn't have one versus if they did, city.
Well, we would get the fuel flowage fee whether they bought fuel from Landmark or
yeah, so it's net neutral to the city,
right?
All this time it's 63
What's the advantage? What are we gaining from this?
Clearly identifying that the fuel farm will go away at the end of the new lease term in 2029. It's 8 months.
How about the assignment, please? If they decide to fail, they want to assign the lease to the utility.
That's a good point.
Oh, they could. Or assign it. If they want to assign it, that lease goes away. The farm goes away, period.
That's more than 29 years. I'm not going to be working in whatever year that is. I don't want to be worried about it.
Yeah.
I worry about it, but I don't think I'm going to get the land.
I think you're right there. Can you read me the language on the fuel farm at the end of the
year? Let me locate it again. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Didn't Arnell come out? Didn't Roberts try to put a fuel farm up? How was he denied?
I expressed to Arnell that there was a moratorium on permanently installed fuel farms, that if he wanted to talk about some sort of other option, that he was free to make a proposal. I wasn't about to give him the pathway to do it. If you wanted,
I got you. You just left it.
Yeah. I don't know if there's any question. Even if the what question is there if the lease expires in 2021, if the fuel farm wouldn't go then?
The fuel farm, as it's written right now, the lease would expire in 2021,
right,
and the improvements revert back to the city. We could renegotiate at least at that time to not include the fuel farm,
or we could do this and say the fuel farm goes away in 2021.
That's an option. We could approve a lease extension, but in 2021, the farm has to go away.
At our option.
Yes.
At our option.
I think it's in the long-term best interest.
Here it is.
The city not to have it. That's reasonable.
Notwithstanding any provision of this lease to the contrary, tenants shall, upon the expiration or early termination of this lease, cause all improvements or other facilities related to tenants' dispensing, storage, or handling of aviation fuels to be removed, including, without limitation, any underground or above-ground storage tanks in compliance with applicable laws and to landlord's reasonable satisfaction.
That's the new language.
That's the new language.
That's not the current language.
Correct.
But the sign was not a termination.
Yeah, but it's
no.
The sign is different.
Well, I guess maybe we take this in pieces. Well, I want, at the very least, to say the city's option that the fuel farm will be released.
At the very least, we can make that.
Yeah, and then the other question is on the expiration lease, early termination, or the assignment. And if this is a single asset entity, you need the attorney to word it so that an assignment is not only an assignment from one entity to another, but an assignment of the membership units or stock in that company. He would understand that. That would trigger the option. But I guess the threshold question is whether we as a board want to recommend to the city that they extend the fuel farm at all. What bothers me about extending it is it gives other tenants the right to say, you know, you had this thing and then you not only granted it, but you then extended it. Isn't that setting a bad precedent? You know, if you don't want to incentivize these things, then you don't extend them. So,
what was the natural end of the lease?
2021, January 2021.
So the lease goes to 2021 regardless?
Correct.
So they're looking for an extension?
Yeah.
Well, I would then, under those, I was thinking we were at the end of the lease, I apologize. But in any event, I would concur totally with Randy. I think, you know, that approach would be, to me, very palpable. It leaves them, you know, didn't not take for 7 years of time to use that particular. I think that's a reasonable and fair. Yeah, and I think if you there's nothing about the lease through 2021 because it is assignable, but you can make it unassignable after 2021, or even better, with any the extension of 2021, it goes away. End of discussion. And that's the anger of guns just like all the other things. Mm-hmm. I think for the fairness, I think from the city's perspective and from the airport's perspective, that would be that.
Well,
and then I know you have concerns about the self-healing policy and somebody challenged you, but you just have to cross that bridge when you come to it. I mean, you can't presuppose that will happen or won't.
The Red Rover representative, Don Steinman, wasn't able to make today's meeting. In all fairness to the tenant, why don't we push this off till the 11th? We'll continue to flush out the fuel farm issue. I think I have a good understanding of the board's disposition regarding that topic, and I can convey that to Don. And maybe we continue to work through some of those issues. But since he's not here today, let's push it off and we'll continue to work it out to the 11th.
That's what he's pulling, yeah.
All right. Okay. We have a motion to table until the 11th. We need a motion to table.
So moved. I'll second the motion.
All right. All in favor? Aye. Aye. We got a majority. Okay.
Yes, we'll get a vote.
Yeah. You don't need to put out. Even if you voted nay, it passed.
Do you mind if we wait till for how we get back before I start?
We're not letting me keep you loading into the inside. I'm going to take much for your job since you left.
Tell him you voted him in as president.
I'm going to go face to face with my friend. I mean, still be with them wherever you want.
We voted to table it until the 11th, so they're represented to be here.
We voted in your favor.
Okay.
We voted your proxies if you were out there.
All right, next. Okay, all right. The shelter landmark agreement. Staff was advised on August 27th that Shelterra was pursuing a purchase agreement with Landmark Aviation for their Ocala location.
Who's Shelterra? I mean, is that a big
Shelterra
company?
Shelterra is an NGO.
You Shelterra?
There are representatives in the audience.
Yeah.
Shelterra is an FBO and airport development company. They have several commercial properties, FBO properties, development properties. We'll talk a little bit more about Shelterra in later on in my presentation. We were notified by Shelterra on October 16th that the purchase contract with Landmark was signed and executed, and they have a 90-day due diligence period which expires January 13th of 2015. They must close within 10 days of that date. Since that original notification on October 16th, Shelterra has been up in Ocala with a huge team going through the Landmark financials, looking at all the different properties on the airport. Staff has been negotiating some lease terms with Shelterra. We'll talk a little bit about that. Shelterra is proposing to take over the FBO operations on February 1st, 2015. One of their
when does Landmark's lease expire now?
That expires February 2018.
Yeah.
So they're basically purchasing the remaining years of that contract, but as a condition to the assignment, they wanted a brand new lease agreement, which gives us an opportunity to fix items in the existing lease agreement and tie the terminal project in with it as well, and that's what we're looking at doing. But why now? Why? What's so different than all the other FBO requests that we've received? What I want to do is point out this is a list. You've seen this before. This is the fuel price sampling list that we provide. This one was July 17th of 2014. Samples several different FBOs all throughout Florida. And the dark highlighted ones, are all the chain FBOs essentially. More than one location, top five FBO chains maybe across the country. Atlantic Aviation, Landmark Aviation, Millionaire, Shelterra, Signature Flight Support. Those are all the dark shaded ones in this location. When you look at any FBO survey, whether it's an AIN International or any of the other trade magazines that do FBO surveys, they're typically going to list the top eight FBO chains as, in no particular order, Signature, Millionaire, Atlantic, Landmark Aviation, Shelterra, Jet Aviation is in there, Wilson Air is in there, and TAC Air. Those are pretty much the big chain FBOs right now. And everybody seems to be on a buying kick. Everybody's buying somebody here and there. Atlantic's doing a lot of purchasing. Landmark's doing a lot of purchasing. Shelterra's been buying locations. TAC Air, I don't, you may or may not be familiar with TAC Air. They primarily in the Midwest. They don't have any locations really in the south or in the extreme north.
They have Tamiami, Kendall Tamiami, were they down there for years?
TAC? I don't know. I looked at their map and it's pretty much right through the heartland, the majority. Anyway, they're a Truman Arnold company. They're privately owned. Wilson Air, they only have four locations. Privately owned. They are typically in the top few best FBO chains in any of those surveys. Jet Aviation, they actually have a location in Florida. Majority of them are in the Northeast. They're based in Zurich, owned by General Dynamics. You've got Shelterra, they're based in Fort Lauderdale. You'll see that they've got a regional office in Orlando. Landmark Aviation, Carlyle Group, and they're actually, well, Landmark's based in Houston, but Carlyle's in Washington, D.C. They're a holdings company. You got Atlantic Aviation, another holdings company. Millionaire Holdings Company, 22 locations, and then of course Signature Flight Support. Huge companies, huge, many locations. This deal is different because they're tying the new terminal project in. They want to participate in the new terminal. They want to provide the matching funds in the terminal project as essentially prepaid rent. And that's essentially what's different from this, I guess, purchase agreement than the previous one. The previous one that we entertained, they wanted to buy Landmark and get a new lease and not put anything back into the airport. And we thought that there had to be something else there. Shelterra is coming in. They're actually offering something else. It's a different type of company.
What kind of term? Can I cut to the chase? What
sure.
Kind of conditional term do they want for that?
Basically, it's a new lease. We're looking at a 30-year term.
Wow.
Let me make one point. Yeah, of course, you're right about the last thing. There's service efforts. I studied up on Shelterra. I know, who you are, what you do. A little bit more about that, but it's certainly quality operation. Landmark did make an offer to do exactly the same thing, and we ignored it. Totally ignored it. They offered, what, how many million dollars did they want to put in?
$4.2 million.
So to say that this is the first time we've seen the opportunity, I just corrected the minutes. So we have seen the opportunity before. We chose to ignore it at that point.
We did not ignore it. It was addressed to the city manager's office.
Right. The city manager ignored it.
No, we didn't.
The community ignored it. But that's my point. I just wanted to make that point. That's in the matter.
Well, I think the reasoning was we wanted to set out an RFP and see what we got. So
yes,
this bothers me a little bit that we're bypassing that process that we've been waiting patiently for.
Which is why I wanted to show what's out there.
Yeah.
This is, if we RFP it in a year and a half, this is what we're looking at. Signature, Millionaire, Atlantic, Landmark, Shelterra, Jet Aviation, Wilson Air, TAC Air. Everybody else is a one-off, one ownership, no chain type location. Oops. When you look at that list, the dark highlighted ones, those are those chain locations. Everybody else on there is either owned by a city, owned by a county, owned by an airport authority, or owned by one owner. That's the difference that we're looking at. That's when you look at, if we RFP it, based on what this board has said in the past, that there's no appetite for a mom and pop FBO chain, or it wouldn't even be a chain, it would be a one owner, one location. We would not have the benefit of multiple locations,
of that, that network of locations. So we're looking at basically the top eight right here. Signature, Millionaire, Atlantic, Landmark, Shelter, Jet Aviation, Wilson, and TAC. TAC Air, they're not down in Florida. I can categorically rule them out. Wilson Air, they have three locations in Tennessee, and one other that's adjacent. I can't recall where that is. Privately owned. Jet Aviation, it's an international company. Personally, I don't see Jet Aviation representing Ocala very well, especially only with six locations. We'll skip over Shelter, and we're talking about them now. Landmark Aviation, they're a holdings company. I don't believe it's in the airport's best interest to be represented by a holdings company who will essentially dump money into a bunch of locations and sell them off en masse. And that's essentially what Carlisle's done. They've owned the Landmark brand, well, previous to that, Piedmont Hawthorne already. They've already owned them once. They bought them twice. You've got Atlantic Aviation, another holdings company, Millionaire. And then Signature Flight Support. I don't see any of those companies representing Ocala's interests. I think we'd be in the same spot, the same situation, now that we're in with Landmark. Shelter Aviation is different. They're more of a development company, property development company, more so than an FBO chain. The offer that they're putting on the table is different because their company's different. There's grant money available for the terminal project in 2016 and in 2017 before the end of the Landmark lease. The airport can't capitalize on that grant money and tie it up right now. I don't have the matching funds. City doesn't have the matching funds. Shelter Aviation has come forward and they said that they would match it. And I've done the research on Shelter, and personally, I'm excited about the opportunity.
Matt, you might want to share a couple comments?
Sure.
Is it okay with
the board? Yeah.
Staff has taken the same position that the board has in terms of wanting to go to the RFP to see what the marketplace has to offer, because that's the best way, typically, to, competition is the best way to determine what's the best offer. We've always said that in order for us to not do that, that we really need to have something at the table that really interests us. And we can't really reveal all of the discussions that are occurring with Shelter, but one of the things we made very clear to them is, listen, if we put it on the street, any offer we would entertain obviously would have to include their commitment to help us build a terminal. That's the entry fee just to get in the door. So, the fact that you're looking at buying out a Landmark lease, that's great. I mean, that's going to cost you money, but that doesn't matter to us right now, whether it's Landmark or you pumping the gas right now, for the sake of our discussion. Right? There's no value and benefit to us for you buying out the Landmark lease. They're doing just fine. So you have to put something else on the table, and that's something else, the piece that we're negotiating with them right now. Not only has Matt indicated that they have a development arm, and they not only build properties and lease properties, they hold properties in many cases. So we've always said as staff that if we did an FBO ultimately that is our business partner, we have the same interest. Developing business at the airport is in our interest, just as it is in a developer's interest. Any FBO that's going to be looking to be profitable at our airport has to be profitable beyond just making fuel sales and perhaps leasing out a little bit of space here and there. They need to develop this airport with us. Shelter does that. And the piece that we're negotiating is, what is the value and benefits? What commitments are you going to make to us to develop this airport? And I really can't get in a whole lot of that right now. But based on our preliminary conversations, the things they're putting on the table in writing, it is moving in that direction of looking like some serious commitments to help us grow this airport on the development side. And certainly on the aviation side, we've had conversations with them about what are you going to do on the aviation side to attract more business and increase operations. And so they seem to have, they're developing maybe a little bit different business model approach to helping on the aviation side just as much as we're focusing on the development side. So it's a little bit disadvantaged to you right now without us being able to reveal what that means. And we're not certainly looking for you to vote on approval of anything here. And let Matt correct me if I'm wrong, but what we're saying is their proposal is giving us reason to reflect on whether should we wait to do the RFP. The big challenge here is the timing. They've got a pretty tight time frame. I think you had that up there a minute ago.
I'm sorry. Okay, other way. Yeah, the due diligence expires January 13th. So the intent of this meeting here was basically to introduce you to the idea of moving forward, where we're at, so the basic terms that we've already discussed, the terminals part of it, the time frame involved, and to talk a little bit about why we're not doing the RFP and why we're moving forward with it and some of the benefits to that. You also have to understand what's out there right now and how you want the airport represented. There's that. Then next, I'm skipping ahead, but basically the next steps are to bring this back to the board with an agreement for you to basically go through and comment on, and ultimately for your approval on December 11th, and then hopefully to City Council by the 16th of December. It leaves a little bit of wiggle room in there. There is one more City Council meeting after the 16th prior to the expiration of Shelterra's due diligence. So there is a little bit of room there, but I think we're good to focus on getting this to Council on December 16th.
Why? Question. We're at the end of a 90-day due diligence. Pat's clearly known about this since August, 90 days, with the agreement since August when the thing began. I understand there's confidentiality and things that you do and don't want to do, but I kind of resent the fact that the airport board and the City Council are being brought into this at the last minute and the decision needs to be made at the end of the deal, where none of this was shared with either the council or with us prior to this time.
Well, Terry, I mean, we brought it up at the last board meeting. We advised the board that this deal was happening, that we would bring additional information to the board once we had it together. I mean, we've been putting together the deal almost every day. I wouldn't say that we're just bringing you in right now. I mean, it was a quick window to be done.
Members here can test it, whatever, and I certainly can, but.
What was said last time at the last meeting?
Staff advised the board that Shelterra made an offer to Landmark to purchase.
I remember purchasing Landmark.
But we didn't have any details at the time to really offer.
This is the worst I've heard that they wanted.
There was nothing to deliver.
At least, though.
Yes. If I can add a cadge.
Thank you.
We had not had anything in writing from Shelterra until just recently. We weren't notified by Landmark officially that they were in negotiations, that they made this agreement until just recently. So while Shelterra acknowledged to Matt they had an interest and this is something they were considering, there was nothing more in terms of, we didn't start negotiating with them in August. We just received their proposal last week, I think it was. Maybe the week before, I don't recall. So we're just putting things on paper now, bringing it to your attention now in part, because, at least from my interest, now is the time to get involved in a negotiation. We got their first draft. I'd like to see their report, but somebody, appoint somebody to sit with staff and get into this, if you're comfortable with that, to get into this term sheet is what we're working on right now. And to help us figure out what you think makes sense, if it makes sense to consider this seriously. That's kind of where we're at. This is why we're at this stage right now. And that's what we're going for. It's going forward in the sense that they have this, they're going forward with their due diligence period. That doesn't mean we are going to approve this deal and go forward with it. It means we've got to develop this thing. I think with good faith, we need to work with them to see if this has got legs. We need your help to do that. If it does have legs and something like entertain, we're probably taking, I don't know if that it's an agreement, maybe it is. Maybe it's just a term sheet to council on December 16th. I don't know. Time is going to reveal that. But because of their time frame, we feel compelled to, and because of what they're talking about, I think it's of interest, we're compelled to kind of react to that.
Understand.
But the due diligence can be extended, and it is all the time. So
we certainly hope it will be, actually.
Well, that was my question as well, just because of that, because it's not. It's never a good idea in my business dealings in the past experience to deal in any shape or form of such support. You've got to hurry up.
We agree.
It just doesn't lead to good things happening. So, you know, but from a shelter's perspective, I guess, are you looking to have an extension before you would do anything? Or are you looking to buy the airport and operate it, regardless of whether or not you can get an extension at this time?
The ideal situation is to have the agreement with the city, you know, prior to the closing.
Sure.
Yeah.
But if you did not have that, would you still buy a land market? You know, that's a question you have to answer. But, yeah, the question then becomes, would you be interested in operating it till the end and be there as part of the RFP process or doing the other? So there's a lot of questions to be answered. This is all new to us. I saw shelter on here. I was not aware, for my personal awareness, if anything was even happening. From the nature of the way I received it, I assume this is what we shot them. So I researched your FPS in Florida and the three in New York company. Slightly and understand kind of your footprint, which is not fully fixed, but of course you can leave it out at the internet very quickly. But I'm obviously for the good of the airport in terms of where we go. I disagree with Matt from the standpoint of Landmark being owned by a holding company that, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, about half the corporations or better that are involved in business on a national basis are owned by some kind of investment group that are, it's just part of the business model nowadays. You've got these people that just buy a company to put it aside and operate. It doesn't necessarily make them bad. It's not indicative of a bad company, because I think Landmark's a very good reputation. That's just the business model, the same one that our former run for the president, Staples, and the things that got into the news before. I mean, that's a big thing. And you got good people and you got bad people. You got Chainsaw Al Dunlap, who was local, and you got good people like Mitt Romney, who I think probably was doing a pretty decent job with it, and all in between. And so it's part of it. So I'm not indicting anybody just because they're owned by that. But, you know, the footprint of Landmark, you know, that not our, we're out, we don't have anything to do with that, is much larger. There's no question that they have a larger footprint. And it's getting larger. So from the standpoint of Ocala right now, for the best efforts of our airport, if I looked at it, it's people I'd really rather have, even given Shelter's good reputation and everything. And certainly, we had an opportunity last time with somebody who, if they led the FBO, would have been one in a row, the first one they'd ever done, and they thought they could do it, and they had some money. So that's not what we want. You know, I've lived through mom and pop FBOs here until the old lease ran out as part of the RFP process. And when we found Piedmont, Port Warren, who originally was our FBO, this led us to them. So I've got a firm grasp on past history, and I remember the people that were here that were the mom and pops, they were milking the lease till it ran out. It was not a pretty sight. Yeah, so that's why we were very interested in having, you know, an operator. But you're certainly qualified, more than qualified. But that's my point. But we don't have anything to do with what Landmark's going to do or what Shelter is going to do. This is a business arrangement between them. Since I believe there's really nothing we could
do. No, we do, Jared. We do have something to do with them. They made it clear to us that their interest is in a long-term lease, and that long-term lease needs to be negotiated now. now, when I say now, it doesn't mean like this minute now, it means they've given us a term sheet, we need to consider it. We would not have been considering if it didn't include value-added benefits. Because, again, in the marketplace, we would be in that position to negotiate those things. So, if one of the board members is willing and able to sit with staff and shelter and work through the term sheet, and if you guys feel like those additional value-added benefits are worthy of further exploration, then that's what we're hoping for. And here's the thing, Terrence, for us, if I simplify it, as Matt mentioned in the beginning, we share your desire, the board's desire to not have a mom and pop. We need somebody that's a network. We also need to have somebody that sees the vision for Ocala and is going to help us, at least from a staff perspective, be our development partner, one way or the other. How are they, whether they're building and holding buildings and leasing them, whether they're just bringing the development company to the deals that we bring to them, I don't know. But Shelter is one that gives us every one of those options. Now, whether we can reach terms that really quantifies those benefits and shows they're all in and committed, I don't know. But you know, I think we need your help to sort through that and figure that out. And now is the time, because I do not believe they're going to go through with this closing if they're not able to negotiate a long term.
All right. You want to hear from Shelter's representative? Would you like to speak to us? Address the board, please.
I'd love to address the board. Can I quote a board? My name is Bill DeShane. I am with Shelter.
What's your position, Bill?
I am the director of special projects and development. I work with Todd Anderson out of our regional properties and development office in Orlando, Florida. And you've all made some awesome points today, and you know, we just pulled this board together on Florida because we think it's kind of relevant to what we're talking about. Shelter has operations, as you know, I think you mentioned very clearly, from Florida, New York, and the 21 airports that we currently operate out of with either real estate or FDL operations, our most recent being Cleveland, and they're very committed, very knowledgeable about the Florida market. So we think not only can we bring a very strong development program to Ocala and partner with the city, but that we can also help improve air traffic here as well, which seems to have been something that has been on the decline through two factors, I guess, mostly the economy and others, because what we have to offer in the state of Florida is a customer base that is quite significant. And something that relates 40 years of existence has never divested itself of one of its FDL operations. So for us, it's not about trying to just find FDOs that are good fueling operations and so forth. For us, it's more about where can we partner with the communities that we're in, where can we get involved with the economic development, and where can we build facilities and create long-term relationships. So that's what we do, and that's, I think, really what distinguishes us. I think all of those FDOs that were represented here today are quality FDO operators and do a good job and in their markets. We all have about the same reach in terms of customer base. We market similarly in some regards, but what's different about us is our core focus and commitment to the state of Florida's aviation interests. And so what we have invested here throughout the state at the 16 airports is significant. And we've been talking about how do we leverage that to get the community back to the airport, to get the community flying, see all that stuff happening, and start to create the demand that we need, because really what we want to do is build facilities. The commitment on the terminal is real, that will probably be something that will happen right at right after closing. The other development on the airport on the west side where all cameras are and there's land available there, we've already got our architects working on design and land use plans that we'll present to the city as our ideas of how to rebuild that side of the airport. So we're very serious about it, very excited about the opportunity to be here on that. It's in our backyard, it's in our culture, it's in our core. And Jerry Holland, who's the principal owner of the company, has been doing it since 1963. It's a family-run business, but we've got national recognition, and we've got the financing capability of most of the national companies. So it's, you know, our financial strength and our ability to market internationally. We have a full-service organization that not only do all the standard local marketing advertising does. We're out in Los Angeles, and we're out in we're up in New York, and we're over in eBay's in Switzerland, and you know, in over in Dubai, and you know, and down in Latin America, and we're talking to companies, and we're continuing to market with business, and Ocala is going to be a very big part of what we market with them. So we're excited about being this central point of part of the agree with what we've read about the area and its distribution capabilities and what's going on here, and we want to be part of that. Susan and I are going to be meeting with Nelly this afternoon. We're going to spend some time with her and really get our hands on this.
Melanie Gabori is the
effective. And I guess the best takeaway that I can give you about shelter is that we're 380 people. We operate as a very close-knit family, and it's a family-run business. We bring to the resources very national.
You're a perfect takeover target, though, aren't you?
You know, that's if you're willing to sell. But this family is not willing to sell. There's a succession plan in place, and we plan to be here in this for a very long time. And so, everybody's a takeover target. We get big enough, but
yeah.
That's not our game. It's not what we're doing. And it's not what we think. People try to acquire us a number of times. There have been other companies who tried to acquire us. That might have been this airport. But I think the reality of it is that we recognize the timeline, and to your point, due diligence periods can be extended. And certainly if we're moving along well and we have to do that, we'll negotiate appropriately with Landmark and try to get that done. We think the time is now. And the time is right for the project forward. Staff's been terrific and accommodating. We have surveyors coming out today to try to keep it moving, and so we're just going to keep plugging along as hard as we can. I'm there to answer any questions you have about the company, about what we do, and certainly I've got my cell phone number and Todd's, and we're available to you. Thank you. That's about it.
Any questions?
No, I'm very, it's a very, very impressive company.
Thank you. We're happy to be working for the company, and it's an exciting time for us.
Mr. Savage, any comments or questions?
No.
Howie, any questions?
Realtors are all like, what's on your deal right now?
That was a personal call.
Right.
It wasn't business.
Any questions?
My son-in-law was traveling from Romania back to the United States, and that was an update.
Yes, sir. That's good.
That's fine.
You're not asking for any official, just make
what is that disposition? Yeah. What do you want to nominate somebody to work with staff? To
you want
to
your last gasp on the board there?
I really think, because I've had a different kind of position in this thing, I wouldn't be, you would actually, from the standpoint of...
You
can do it.
I have to just work out a conflict, because Matt knows the mom and pop that made the offer is a client of mine, and I abstained the last time, so... It would maybe totally inappropriate for me to vote and take a position unless I know I have to ascertain whether there continues to be a conflict before I agree to accept that decision. If there's no conflict, I'd be happy to.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
In terms of the conflict, would that mean if your previous or your client was still interested in participating? But if I indicated to you there's no ownership interest and they're not interested,
right? Okay. Yes. Don't you agree that that would be?
I would agree.
And I'll find that out.
Okay.
This is a public meeting. This is now public record, so I wouldn't be disclosing anything that wouldn't be public record that this company is interested in doing that. And I'm not making. I think you all sound great, but I got to find out, and I can't agree to be
vote or part of the negotiations until I resolve that.
How long will it take you to find that?
Could be today.
I said that.
Could we establish an alternate in case you're, you do have a conflict?
I'll volunteer if we can.
Okay.
All right. We'll find out.
All right. We'll meet again on December 11th, and we'll have a lot more information to present that time.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Are there plans to meet with the CEP? Is that what you're referring to today? Is that they're going to be?
Melanie is with our office of economic development. We intend to bring the CEP in, but I don't like to bring, you had a question about holiday and those things. I typically don't like to bring other parties in. Well, first of all, we have to take into consideration what shut their wants and who they bring in, right? Because there is some confidentiality involved in the things we're going to be reviewed. But I typically don't like to bring other parties in until we at least have a written term sheet or something, because otherwise everyone's talking about something else. So I think probably the next time we meet, we would have the representative of the airport advisory board, hopefully there, and then Kevin.
And without that, right, when's the next meeting?
The next time we meet, we haven't established that date. So, you know, in the next couple weeks, I'm sure, maybe not next week, it's Thanksgiving, but maybe the week after that, we meet, we'll go through that, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
So we'd have maybe Kevin or Brett from the CP, one of you there, probably the acting city manager in the room. And that'll be an internal, well, we might do it first ourselves, mm-hmm. internal, and then we bring you guys in after we have our internal.
I just want to make sure that this is a community opportunity, not just a city locale. This is the city locale of the airport. But by and large, this is the community, the county's airport. The county would like to say that because they have one of that element and they have their airport. But it's not a viable airport. So this airport is the portal through which all business flows in and out of our community, particularly all the economic development. So long as the CEP is involved in some way, shape, or form,
okay.
I think that would be appropriate.
Yeah, I think our desire to meet with them today is just get a little bit more knowledge about what's going on in the region and get us a little bit better school about what we can do to help and so that's really just our focus.
Okay. Anything else? Any other comments, sir? Matt, any other business? Anything from the gallery? All right, hearing nothing. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Yeah,
I'll go back first.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's our Christmas party.
What was this, dress down Friday night?
Yeah.
It is dress down Friday.
I dressed up for you.
Lawyers can charge more when they wear it. They're on the top of there.